Hebron tonight for this special memorial service. I have an apology from Dr. Stephen Bailey, who is Her Majesty's Deputy Lord Lieutenant for this county, and he's not here tonight. He was looking forward to it, but he's not well and unable to come. We're going to worship God as we sing together 752. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come. To seek the Lord in prayer tonight. Of course, one of the great texts at any remembrance service is the verse of Scripture in John chapter 15 and verse 13. The words of Christ when he reminds us that greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And with that thought in mind, we'll bow together and seek the Lord in prayer. Eternal God and loving Father, we still our hearts in the presence of God tonight as we come to this church building for a special remembrance service. We come through the Lord Jesus, the sole King and Head of the Church. We thank you tonight that He is the one mediator between God and men, and we have the right and we have the privilege to come to God's throne through Him, our Advocate and our Saviour. We thank Thee for this service and why we're here, as we call to remembrance those who have given their lives, that we might enjoy freedom and liberty in this nation. We think back across the decades to the two great wars that took place in the world and other conflicts as well, including what happened here recently in Northern Ireland. And Lord, we want to give thanks for those who paid the sacrifice, that ultimate sacrifice when they gave their lives. As Jesus said, they laid down their lives for their friends. There were those that stood in the front of the battle. There were those that fought to deliver us from tyranny and bondage. We're glad tonight that battles were fought and won, and the liberties that we enjoy were maintained. And we still, as we thought this morning, have the privilege of coming to the house of God unhindered for worship. We think of those lands where this cannot be. We think of the persecuted church. We think of nations that oppress the gospel and religious freedom. But Lord, here tonight we enjoy the privilege of coming to a house of God like this so we might freely worship the Lord. From the commencement of the service, it is our desire for your presence to be here and for the Lord himself to make himself known. As we think of the sacrifices made, we think of the Lord Jesus tonight and the great sacrifice that he made for our sin. This man, your word tells us, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of the Father. We praise thee for redemption through the blood of the Savior. We rejoice that that redemption is complete. It's finished. That Jesus cried on the cross, "It is finished," signifying nothing more to do, nothing more could be added to the work already done. We can say in the words of the hymn writer, "Jesus paid it all." Help us to know these things with certainty and assurance in our hearts tonight as we meet here. And bless this service, speak to our hearts. That is the longing of our hearts, that the Lord will abide with us this evening. You were here this morning. You helped us. Remember all who take part. We pray for Stephen and the part that he has to play this evening, that God will be with him and stand with him. For Christine, as she sings this evening, we pray that the message will be a blessing and a challenge, and that your word, as we read it together and meditate upon it for a little time, will also come with freshness and power to every waiting heart. And Lord, we know the truth that your word declares that salvation is of the Lord. And Lord, we know that you're able to save to the uttermost all that come. So bless us now in the Savior's precious name. Pour out the Holy Spirit upon this gathering for Jesus' sake. Amen. As we come to this act of remembrance tonight, I'm very glad to have one of our deacons tonight, Mr. Stephen Fletcher. And Stephen, at this part, is going to take over, do the next little bit this evening. So Stephen, thank you in the Lord's name for your willingness. Amen.
Would the congregation please stand for the receiving of the standards? And the congregation, please remain standing for our act of remembrance. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn. At the going down of the sun and in the morning, we will remember them. When you go home, tell them of us and say, for your tomorrow we give our today. The congregation may be seated for the wreath laying. These wreaths are laid in thankful remembrance of those who in two world wars, subsequent conflicts, and during the troubles in Northern Ireland gave their today for our tomorrow. The Causeway Coast and Glens Borough Council, Mr. David Jackson, MBE, Chief Executive. The Army, Major Adrian Patrick, retired. The Royal British Legion, Mr. William McAleese and Mr. John Foster. The Police Service of Northern Ireland, Mr. Mark Hamilton, Deputy Chief Constable, and Mr. Doug Garrett, Chairman of the Northern Ireland Policing Board. The Northern Ireland Prison Service, Mr. Ronnie Armour, Director General. The Northern Ireland Fire and Rescue Service, Watch Commander, Mr. Alistair Campbell. The Northern Ireland Ambulance Service, Mr. Stephen Laverty. The UDR Association, Mr. Derek Archibald, and Mr. Gary McClelland, in memory of his late father, Charlie McClelland, ex-UDR. The Royal Ulster Constabulary, George Cross, Mr. Paul Kyle and Mrs. Marion Stevenson, and the Ulster Special Constabulary, Mr. Mervyn Miller. The Orange Order, Mr. William Archibald, and the Royal Black Institution, Mr. Robert McAleese. The Independent Orange Institution, Mr. James Anderson and Mr. Mervyn Story. The Apprentice Boys of Derry, Mr. William McLean and Mr. Alec Taylor. In memory of Sergeant David Ross, 31 years of age, Royal Military Police, murdered on the 27th of March 1984 at Granshaw, Londonderry, Mr. Robert McCauley, a witness at the scene, and in memory of all innocent civilians who lost their lives during the Troubles in Northern Ireland, Mr. Sean McCauley. The Youth Fellowship of Hebron Free Presbyterian Church, Ben Galt. In memory of RUC Constable Frank O'Reilly, the last serving member of the RUC to be murdered in Northern Ireland on the 6th of October 1998, Reverend David Park, brother-in-law, and on behalf of the session committee and congregation of Hebron Free Presbyterian Church, Mr. Phil Moffat, clerk of session. On behalf of the Royal Irish Regiment, Mr. Hugh McClenaghan. We wish to place on record our appreciation to all who have taken part in this, our remembrance service for this evening. And just now I'd like to ask our pastor, Reverend Park, to close this part of our service in prayer, please.
Let's bow together in prayer. Lord, in these minutes we have many reflections, many memories. For those that are old enough, we remember the conflicts here in this island. We think of the lives that were lost, some of them very near to us, we knew so well, and our hearts go out to those grieving widows and parents, family members. We pray that you will remember them for good. We pray that you will bless them with your comfort. Jesus said, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And may the grace of the Lord and that wonderful common grace be their portion at this time. Accept of our thanks again for your mercies to us and for preserving our heritage and the liberties and the freedoms that we enjoy for Jesus' sake. Amen. And amen. Thank you, Stephen. Appreciate the work that you've done tonight. And all who have helped to organise this evening, we thank you sincerely. We're going to ask our sister, Mrs. Christine Story, to come and sing just now. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Christine, for singing tonight, for your willingness, and for leading us to the heart of the gospel, Christ giving his life for us. And he did that upon the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. I have no announcements tonight as such. We made all the announcements this morning. You'll be glad to hear. Except maybe to say, Andrew and Sarah, who are with us tonight, and they were not present this morning, that we congratulate them on their engagement. We're able to announce that this morning, but we know that you just travelled back today, this afternoon. We trust that the Lord will bless you both in the years to come. We want to welcome everyone to the congregation, to visitors, to distinguished guests that are here this evening, to those who have taken part. I want to thank you sincerely for being present with us at this remembrance service. And for those that are listening in on the internet, sermon audio, or YouTube, or Facebook, we bid you welcome also. We're going to sing a hymn, "It Is Well With My Soul." In our hymn book, it would be the hymn 351. Very famous hymn, "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." may be seated. We're turning in the Word of God tonight to the Gospel of Matthew in the chapter 25. As you turn up the Scripture, it really is incredible that 23 years have passed by since my brother-in-law was killed. He was on duty in Portadown all those years ago, 23 years ago, and was involved in a very serious incident. There was some rioting taking place, and he was just in the wrong place at the wrong time as an RUC officer. And that injury led him into hospital, where for about a month's time he was seriously ill, and then he eventually passed away because of his injuries. And we do salute his memory and the memory of all that we knew, all that we loved in our families and within our friendship circles. But I'm turning to the Word of God tonight. I want to bring a special Remembrance Day message to you. And if you're familiar with the Scriptures and this chapter, you will know that it's part of a sermon that Jesus preached when he was here upon the earth. A sermon indeed that he preached towards the end of his ministry before he went to the cross. And I want to read from verse 31 of Matthew chapter 25. And we'll read down to the end of the chapter. The Lord is preaching this sermon. It covers chapter 24 and chapter 25. And it's about the end times and about his second coming. And he preached it because the disciples were very curious. They wanted to know what was going to happen before the end of the world and before the Lord came back again. And so the Lord set before them the great truths that he expounds in this sermon. And I'm going to read just the last little part of his message. Verse 31. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory, and before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not, sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or athirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. We'll end the reading there at the end of the chapter, and we know that the Lord will be pleased to bless his word to every heart. I was thinking for a text tonight that I would leave with you the words of verse 34, where the Lord Jesus speaks about this future event where the righteous people are welcomed home to glory. And he does so under these words, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. As I was thinking about this special remembrance service this evening, I began to ponder texts of Scripture and particular Bible scenes that reminded me of what it must have been for those who were members of the armed forces and their families way back in wartime situations. One of the most applicable texts, and one that is often spoke about at remembrance services, and I think we did it the last time that we met here, are the words of Jesus Christ in John chapter 15 and verse 13. And you've heard the text already today. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. These words that Jesus spoke not long before he went to the cross. It appears on many memorials throughout the United Kingdom and further afield. In the context, it reminds us of the greatest sacrifice that any person can make for his friend or for his colleague, which many soldiers and military personnel did in situations of war and conflict. They laid down their lives. They paid the ultimate sacrifice. And in the fullest application, it points to Jesus Christ himself, the Savior and the Redeemer of men. When he came into this world, he came and he laid down his life, not for his friends, but for his enemies, those who were strangers to him, those who were sinners in his sight. And truly we can say, greater love hath no man than Christ. Another scene so applicable to wars and conflicts, I believe, is that of the Good Samaritan, who stopped to give medical aid to the man who had been beaten, robbed, and left to die at the side of the road. The Good Samaritan came to the poor, distressed, injured, dying man, and we are told that he had compassion on him, and he went to him, and he bound up his wounds, and he took care of him. Think of the medics on the battlefield, often in peril of their own lives. Consider the hospital staff. Some of these hospitals were really makeshift adjacent to the battlefields. And we salute those doctors and nurses and volunteers who did so much to help the wounded and the dying. I then thought of a most tragic and heart-rending battle scene in the story of King David. You read about it in 2 Samuel chapter 18. In fact, it's very hard to read that story without a tear in your eye and sorrow in your heart. The young man, Absalom, was such a promising young fellow with great potential and qualities. But he made tragic mistakes, and not least, he sought to dethrone his father. In fact, he attempted to kill his father and then assume the reign of Israel, take possession of the throne. This led to a war between the forces of King David under the command of General Joab and the forces of Absalom. And the Bible tells us how the battle was in the wood of Ephraim and there was a great slaughter. In fact, 20,000 soldiers were killed in one day, that day of the battle. Among those who were killed was this handsome young prince called Absalom. When the news reached the palace and his father David discovered that his own son was dead, we read of how David wept, and he wept bitterly, and he cried, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, oh Absalom, my son, my son." And you can just imagine the scene of indescribable sorrow that must have filled the heart of David. This became a reality to thousands of fathers and mothers and family members in war situations. When from the battlefield the news came that their son or their daughter, their wife, their husband, their family member was killed. Indescribable sorrow. But this evening I want to draw your attention to a happier scene. We are brought to the great day of judgment, and it is Jesus Christ who brings us to this scene in his sermon, recorded here in Matthew 24 and 25. He speaks about the day when he comes again in glory and all the holy angels with him. He describes how that he will be sitting upon the throne of his glory, and before him will be gathered all the nations of the world. Indeed, it is the first, in the first place, it is the scene of immense solemnity and gravity, because it is the scene of separation, awful separation. We've read tonight how he shall separate them, the one from the other, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And you know the representation here. You know this picture that the Lord sets before his hearers. The sheep are a representation of all the true people of God who were truly converted to Christ. And the goats are a representation of lost souls who had never found Christ, who had never repented, who had never turned to him in faith, who had never laid hold upon the Savior. And so their sins were never pardoned or forgiven. And I want tonight for you to notice the words of Christ concerning his sheep. And these are the words that I've mentioned in my text in verse 34. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. As I thought about these words, I thought that this was very much like a home welcome, or a welcome home greeting. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom. This took my mind to those situations in war times when parents and wives, family members, went down to the docks or maybe to the airport to welcome their children and their husbands who had survived the battles and came home safely to the arms of their loved ones. I have seen some photographs just recently on the internet of this. The hugs, the embraces, the tears, the smiles, the posters that were held up. A little poster that said, Welcome home, Dad. Another that said, We all appreciate your service. Another, Thank you for your freedom, or for freedom. What will it be on that great day when from the lips of our great God and Savior, you and I, as his redeemed children, are welcomed home to heaven? This is expressed so well in a little song entitled Little Is Much When God Is In It. One of the verses says, When the conflict is ended and our race on earth is run, he will say, If you have been faithful, welcome home, my child. Well done. What a day that's going to be. The welcome home service. The day when the battle is over and we leave the conflict behind, and from the lips of Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, we hear those words, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Just as I bring this service to a conclusion, there's three simple thoughts in this verse that I want you to notice. I want you to notice, first of all, the wondrous description. Ye blessed of my Father. There is a people in this world described in such a way. Most of you will know that this word blessed in the scripture could be translated happy. Ye happy of my Father. There are those right now who fit this description, who enjoy this position, who experience this jubilation. They are the blood-bought people of God who have a personal saving relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, who are these people who are truly blessed of the Father? Well, they are the people who have believed, who have trusted in Christ. To believe on Jesus Christ for salvation is the most blessed and happy experience that any man can enjoy. True evangelical faith is to believe in Christ. It is to believe who he was and what he came to do. Who he was, he is the blessed eternal Son of the Father. He is God manifested in the flesh. He is the Savior of the world. He is the one who came into this world as the anointed of God, born of the Virgin Mary, and lived in this life, a perfect life, and then went to the cross of Calvary. And that tells us what he came to do. He came to die. He came to sacrifice himself, to put away sin, the Bible says, by the sacrifice of himself. Jesus said to Thomas in John chapter 20 and verse 29, in those days of the resurrection, when Thomas was now completely assured of who it was that was standing before him, the living Christ, the resurrected Christ, "Because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed or happy are they that have not seen and yet believe." And that's a reference, of course, to those who have lived after the days of Christ. Those of us who have never physically set our eyes upon Jesus Christ, but we have believed. And the Word of God says, blessed or happy are those that believe. Thomas was standing, gazing upon the crucified, risen Savior. And undoubtedly, he was blessed indeed. My friends, if we have come and put our faith and trust in Christ, and we have believed in him to the saving of our souls, praise God, we are these happy ones. We are these blessed ones. Not only are these people blessed, but their sins are forgiven. This knowledge instills an immense sense of joy into the hearts of men. The psalmist in the Psalm 32 and verse 1 says, "Blessed or happy is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." Sin. Sin that is found in all of us. Sin that condemns us. Sin that will take us down to the sides of the pit forever. Sin that shuts the gates of heaven upon us. What a blessing, therefore, to know our sins forgiven. We sang tonight that hymn just before we came to the Word of God, which I think is one of the most splendid hymns that we have in our hymn book. And in particular, that center verse, probably one of the greatest verses in all the hymnology that we have. "My sin, oh the bliss of this glorious thought, my sin, not in part but the whole, is nailed to his cross and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh my soul." Oh, these blessed people, these happy people, are a people whose sins are forgiven. They are also a people that are in Christ. I think of the words in the last book of the Bible in Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13 that tells us, "Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord." Happy are the dead which die in the Lord. Oh, if you die in the Lord, if you die in Christ, if you die knowing your sins forgiven, you are happy, because it means to go to be with Christ forevermore. I wonder tonight, are you counted among the blessed, among the happy ones? "Ye blessed of my Father, are your sins forgiven? Are you found in Christ tonight?" My second little thought here is the wonderful location that Jesus speaks about, the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. There is a kingdom, a future, wonderful, eternal kingdom to which all true saints will go. We will spend eternity in this place. It's called the kingdom. And that reminds us that it is a place of glory, a place of majesty, a place of riches and grandeur and magnificence. And it is laid up for us in heaven, the place itself where our eternal happiness is to be enjoyed, was actually made at the beginning of creation. For Jesus said, "It's from the foundation of the world." Oh, when the heavens were formed and the foundations were laid of this earth, God prepared this place. We were thinking about it last Sunday night when we spoke about the wonder of heaven. Oh, the glory and the splendor of this place. This world is not our home. I'm glad about that tonight. We think of all the suffering and the affliction, all the difficulties, the trials and troubles that we have to face in this world. For the child of God, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. You're a Christian tonight. You're truly blessed of the Father. You believed on Christ. Your sins are forgiven. You're in Christ. And you're going to God's kingdom above, to the splendor of heaven. We're going home. Going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. Then my third and final point is the welcoming invitation. And it's there very simply in the word come. This is such a blessed word that will be heard on the great day when the Lord himself speaks to his people and he says, come, ye blessed of my Father. It is the welcome home of the Almighty. There was a day when we heard this word or this invitation on earth. You remember that day, the gospel invitation, when Jesus said, come to us. Come unto me, all ye that are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we responded to that invitation. We came to Jesus. We came with all our sin, with all our weakness, with all our undone condition, and he saved us. He pardoned us. He forgave all our sin and bestowed a peace that passes all understanding. Horatius Bonner put it so well in his hymn, I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest. Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary and worn and sad. I find in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Now on the great eternal day of judgment, you and I who are the sheep of God will hear this word again, this word come. It's not the come of redemption, it's the come of reception. It's the voice of the great and the good shepherd as he invites us home to our eternal dwelling place in heaven. Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And we shall enter that blessed region of everlasting bliss, of the land that is fairer than day. We shall say goodbye to all the woes of this life. Trouble, trial, tribulation, distress, despair, desolation, suffering, sorrow and sighing. None of these things will enter the fair shores of the eternal kingdom of God. I wonder tonight, will you receive the welcome home? It's a very important question, isn't it? There was a great welcome home, great receptions after those world wars when our nation was ravished, the nations of the world, in fact, were ravished. People lined the streets. The politicians were there. The great generals and army officers were there. And of course, family members were there to greet the heroes who survived the battles. And these scenes are most moving. But on the great day, the angels of God will line the streets of heaven. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords will be there to welcome his dear ones home. Oh, the joy and the gladness, the singing and the praise, the shouts of victory. When we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. Tell me, my friends, will you be there? That's the question I'm asking as we close this service tonight. Will you be there? Are you redeemed? Are you counted in among the sheep of God? Are you on the right side as the Savior speaks? And so we'll hear those words. Come, ye blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And if you cannot answer positively to that question tonight, it is our earnest prayer that you might trust in the Savior this evening, the one who came and bled and died, that you might have your sins forgiven. May you turn in faith to Christ for Jesus' sake. Lord, we were to prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for this remembrance service. It brings us back to think about so many situations in war times and so many pictures that we have in the Bible and texts as well that are applicable. And not least this great welcome home one day that will be heard by the saints of God, by all the redeemed, those that the shepherd has brought to himself, the sheep of God. Oh Lord, we look forward to that day. What a day of rejoicing it will be. But for some, they're out of Christ, without a Savior. They're held by many a snare. Maybe sin, the world, and the things of this life have got a grip upon them. Lord, we rejoice that there's deliverance for them if they come to the Savior, if they come to know the great love that is found in Christ when he sacrificed himself upon the cross for our sin. Oh, may there be a turning to the Savior this very night for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. There's a hymn in our hymn book. Not everybody perhaps will know it, but it speaks about heaven. And it speaks about those that are going there. We're bound for the land of the pure and the holy, the home of the happy, the kingdom of love. Ye wanderers from God in the broad road of folly. Here's the wee question just to challenge you as you go home tonight. Oh, say, will you go to that Eden above? Think of the words as we sing them together. Gracious God, we pray that the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit will rest, remain, and abide upon each one that is gathered here tonight and forevermore. Spread thy covering wings around us till all our wanderings cease. And at our Father's loved abode, we pray that each soul here will arrive in peace through the saving knowledge and interest in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of men, in whose name we now pray. Amen and amen. We'll remain standing for the national anthem.